and the way that they've used famine as an instrument of war. And so that's come really now to look at the situation of the current war, where, according to the Klingendael Institute, 2.5 million people will likely die from famine-related causes by the end of September. That would be the largest famine the world has seen for 40 years. And what our article does is trace how that famine has been produced by the warring parties, both the Sudanese Armed Forces and the Rapid Support Forces, and by the inaction of the international community.
The UN adopted a resolution on the situation in Sudan. The folks at the State Department here in RSF, warning them not to attack al-Fashir. Several leaders from both sides have been sanctioned. You still look at that as inaction from the international community?
Well, John, as well as I do, the international community is very good at talking and not so good at action. So let's take each part of it one by one. If we take the American government, what the American government has done is sanction some low-level RSF commanders. But what it has not done, and has no intention of doing, is sanctioning the leadership of the RSF, and most importantly, sanctioning the people who provide their money and their guns. And that is the United Arab Emirates. And the reason that America will not sanction the United Arab Emirates is because it needs the United Arab Emirates to be on side against Iran and in favor of Israel. And so what the US government is doing is it is allowing its geopolitical priorities in the Middle East and the Gulf to trump the needs of millions of Sudanese civilians. So that's the problem with the US approach to Sudan. Now, if we come to the UN, the UN agencies have made a decision to recognize the Sudan Armed Forces as the legitimate government of Sudan. This is despite the fact, John, as you know, that after the coup in October 2021, the Sudanese Armed Forces lost all legitimate constitutional authority in Sudan, and the AU withdrew recognition from SAF. Yet still, the UN agencies are harbored. They're staying in Port Sudan, the administrative capital in the northeast of Sudan. They are paying administrative fees and taxes to the Sudanese Armed Forces, who are using that money to go and commit atrocities against civilians. They are paying them for each convoy that goes out. The convoys are run through trucking companies, often owned by SAF. They are renting property, often owned by SAF. They're putting money into the Sudanese war machine. And the Sudanese army, rather than allowing access to the populations that need it most, who are most suffering from famine, which are largely in Kordofan and Darfur, it is blocking access for the aid and humanitarian supplies to the most needy people in the country. And rather than the UN saying, you know what, we're going to deliver the supplies anyway. It is totally technically feasible to deliver from Adre into RSF-held territories, from South Sudan into South Darfur, into West Kordofan. Rather than doing that, they are timidly and placidly accepting what SAF is telling them. And so SAF is using humanitarian aid as a weapon of war to starve out RSF-held territories. And the UN is complicit in that.
When you are talking about the U.S. government not doing enough, the U.S. Special Envoy for Sudan, Thomas Perillo, spoke very strong against the atrocities being committed in Darfur, and even threatened to, you know, put more punitive measures on the leaders of the rival groups.
We all agree that the government is talking. What they're not doing is doing. What they're not doing is putting sanctions on the people supplying weapons and money to the RSF, which is the United Arab Emirates, and they're not doing that because they care about Israel more than Sudan. That is the basic facts of the matter. Tom can jump up and down and talk all he likes. He can have endless meetings with Takadum and Hamdok. The reality of the situation is they are not willing to do what it takes to stop the massacres that are occurring in Fashir.
In the backdrop of a situation where these two rival groups are using food as a weapon, what should be done?
I think we have to be realistic, and we have to say that there is a long history of using famine and using hunger as weapons of war inside Sudan. What has to be done is that the UN agencies, the international community, the INGOs, the national organizations have to sit with a single voice and demand cross-line and cross-border access. The other thing that has to be done is there has to be genuine, massive levels of funding to the people who are actually providing aid on the ground in Sudan, which are the emergency response rooms. And thus far, the money going to those rooms is not sufficient, and it's being channeled not from donors directly to those rooms, but via INGOs who are making people wait. They're delaying things with endless levels of bureaucracy. And what we need to do instead is directly have money from donors to the emergency rooms. The donors, USAID, needs to put its money where its mouth is and actually support the Sudanese people and not hide behind bureaucratic red tape.